Good morning, Weed Talk Radio. We are getting ready to go live. Thank y'all for joining us this morning for Spirit of Inspiring Love service. All right. Good morning. Good morning. Good Sunday morning to everybody tuning in on today. I want to thank y'all for spending a small segment of your Sunday on today. This is the last Sunday in February, and I just want to thank you for spending that small little segment, out of the full 24 hours that you have to spend with Spirit of Inspiring Love Church. And we want to thank all of y'all that are listening to us, joining in on Facebook Live, YouTube Live, on We Talk Radio, the Shine Lord program here where we talk, we take action, and we listen. And I want us to all listen to the Word of God. So we have been in a fantastic series on this month here, and we've been talking about something specific coming out of the book of Romans in chapter 8. But before we do that, I just wanted, we've been talking about our Black History Spotlight, And today, what we're going to do before we go into the meat and the potatoes of our word, I just want to highlight this young man that I grew up with. Felt like we were almost like brothers to a degree. You're watching this person grow up in life and you're seeing everything that they're doing and their contributions. And being in the athletic world was a very near and dear guy that I watched and followed as I was growing up, and we became men together. So as you can see up on the slide, today I want to feature one of my favorite athletes of all sports here. And as you can see the slide up on this morning here, you can see this guy by the name of Kobe Bean Bryant. Let's put Kobe Bryant up on this morning here. As you can see, I just want to feature one of the great quotes that he has had, that he's shown us. There we go. We're getting getting the technical things going here on this morning here. But there it is. So you can see Kobe is on this morning, and you can see one of my favorite quotes that I've had from him here. I just wanted to post on this morning is the most important thing to do, right? The most important thing is to try and inspire people so that they can be great in whatever they want to do. Okay, the most important thing, if we talk radio, if you're listening to us here, we got slides up. I want to encourage you guys to listen to our messages live or on our Facebook page here. The most important thing to do is to try and inspire people so they can be great at whatever they want to do. This was Kobe. This was the Mamba mentality as we all know it. And this was a wonderful quote. And what I want us to know and understand about this quote is he didn't want to just become just the greatest basketball player, but he wanted to inspire people to be great at whatever they wanted to become. All right. So I just wanted to thank y'all for tuning in. And we've just been showing these Black History Spotlights. And, you know, we could do some of our famous people, the Nelson Mandelas and Dr. Martin Luther King's and different ones, but there are also so many people, and we're making history every day. And so I wanted to take a different approach as we talk about some of the people and their inspirations and what that means to the world on today. So without further ado, speaking of inspiring, and that's something that we know that Kobe Bryant did. He inspired a lot of players around him. And speaking of inspiring, one of the most inspiring people that actually has an account in the Bible is the Apostle Paul. Remember the Apostle Paul, the apostle of all apostles, right? Right? He was known as the Pharisee of all Pharisees, okay? And remember this guy here. We've been spending the past few weeks here being inspired by some of the most dynamic and powerful scriptures in the 66 chapters of the book of the Bible. And what I want us to know is we're going to continue to come from Romans chapter 8 on today. And because I'm a big advocate and I'm a big believer that when something's not broken, you don't try to fix it. And this morning, I am not going to try to fix what the Apostle Paul said and what the Holy Spirit said, because the combination of them both is what's going to speak to your spirit and inspire you on today. All right. So Paul, remember, Paul was bold enough. Think about the time that he was coming in and he started planting churches, okay, around the regions that he was around. He was big enough and bold enough to plant the Roman church, okay, right under the nose of Julius Caesar. And he wrote the book of Romans, okay, as an epistle. He wrote the book of Romans as an epistle. An epistle is another word for an encouraging letter. He wanted to send them an inspiring letter to just basically encourage them and to inspire them to keep the faith and to never give up. That's what the book of Romans is all about, okay? So I'm ready and I'm on fire for the Lord because I want to get out of the driver's seat and allow the Lord and the Holy Spirit to come in and take over the wheel. I don't try to do anything on my own. I let go and I let God, amen? All right, so let's dive into it here. And as you can see here, we're going to get into part 3. Part 3, our message on today is called, as you've been seeing here, our advertisement says, you are who he says you are. You are, in fact, who he says you are. This is part 3, the last of our series on you are who he says you are. Let us just go into a moment of prayer and allow God to speak to our hearts and our spirits to renew our mind. Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you once again for another wonderful Sunday. Despite everything that's going on in this world, Lord, we block it all out and we come together for this one moment in time in unison, on one accord, just to say thank you. We thank you because of who you are, and we know that we're absolutely nothing without you, Father God. So we ask that you just come in, Lord, block out all distractions and allow us to keen in, to focus in, to zoom in on your word, and to allow your word to be louder than the voice of the world, to allow your word to project louder than the world's message. Yes, we live in this world. We're not of this world, Lord, and we're going to take this time to fill up our gas tanks on what thus says the Lord. Lord, we ask that you just renew our mind, renew our strength, open our hearts, our minds, give us a soft soil to receive the seed of your word. In the name of Jesus, we pray on today, Lord. We love you and we thank you in the name of Jesus. Amen. All right, again, I want to thank all of y'all that are tuning in with us, whether you're listening to us live 9 a.m. or you're watching our replay at 6 p.m. and those that are listening to We Talk Radio as well. I want to thank all of you for your time. Now, in our world on today, ladies and gentlemen, we can often struggle with this thing called, it's a psychological event that can happen, it's called an identity crisis. We can sometimes struggle with this thing called an identity crisis. And I just want to put a slide up on this morning here, because according to verywellmind.com, an identity crisis is a developmental event that involves a person questioning their sense of self or place in this world. Okay? An identity crisis, I'm going to say it again. It's a developmental event that involves a person questioning, asking questions, not being sure, not being 100% clear on your sense of self or place in this world. With everything that has transpired in our world these past couple of years, these past couple of days, these past couple of months, the recent events can sometimes leave us questioning, who are we? Why are we here? And what is our place in this world? How do I fit in? What's my purpose? Why am I here? And oftentimes we can kind of run into what we want to call an identity crisis. Have you ever just stopped and asked yourself, who am I? This is something that we can often face at times, and it can have a lasting effect on us, because if that question doesn't get answered, what kind of an effect can it have on our lives? At times we can not be too sure who we are. We cannot be too clear on who we are. But I want to do something on this morning. I want to go against the grain of that psychological event. As a matter of fact, I want to challenge that form of an identity crisis as we know it. And I want to switch the narrative and I want to switch the idea. Because something I want us to know, ladies and gentlemen, here as we're listening into this message on today, is the easiest way to know who you are is to know and understand who you are. When you know and understand who you are, you have confidence about who you are. Now, I'm going to say that again for those sitting in the back. You have to know who you are, and you have to know and understand whose you are. Let's get you out of the way and understand that there is something greater than you, and you have a divine connection to what's greater than who you are. Okay, this is what I want us to understand. So I want to put that slide up here because I want that to soak and I want that to sink into your spirit on this morning. The easiest way to know who you are is to know and understand whose you are. Whose you are. So it's not about who I am. The question is whose I am. Whose I am. Now, stay with me on this here because I'm going to make this point here to shine some light on how to go against the grain of the identity crisis as we get ready to close out. You are who he says you are. Now, in the business world, I want to talk to all of our business folk out there, okay? And if you're a business person out there, go ahead on and go ahead on and let the world know. If you're in sales or marketing or whatever aspect of it, just say, I'm that business person. He's talking to me. Let somebody know this is reaching you. In the business world, ladies and gentlemen, the best way to sell and to know your product or service is this thing called a value proposition. It's called a value proposition. And you have to know your product and you have to know your service very well to be able to talk, okay, in distinct terms to allow someone to know what you bring to the table, okay? And once you focus in and know that and you know the value of your product and know the value of your service, what distinguishes you from any other form of competition is called your value proposition. Okay, a value proposition, it helps a consumer know and understand why out of everything and everybody else that they could use, should they choose you? Why should they go with your service? Why should they choose your product? You're answering that why by understanding what you bring to the table. It's the specific value to what you bring to the table. Now, let's connect some dots here, because as I say all the time, the word of God, it lives through us, it speaks to us, and it meets us wherever we are. So let's connect this practical idea from the value proposition and align it with the spiritual realm, and let's see how God lines everything up here. Since God, ladies and gentlemen, is our maker, okay, he has designed us in his image for his service. And the best way to understand our value proposition to why are we here and who are we is to know what his word says about who you are. It's about knowing what his word says about who you are. So who does he say you are? And to know who he says you are, you have to study the word of God and know what the word of God says. This is why it's important that we should study to show ourselves approved. Approved of what? Knowing the worries of God, knowing the word of God, understanding what he's saying about who you are and whose you are. And you don't know that unless you pick up the word of God and you begin to feed on the word of God. Ladies and gentlemen, this is why you tuned in to this message on this morning to know what he says about you. This is why you're listening to us on today to know what it is that the Lord says about you. And every time you're listening to our messages, every time you pick up your Bible, he is telling you more. Holy Spirit, thank you for that. He is telling you more and more about who he says you are. This is what I want you to understand. So faith comes by hearing, and hearing from the what? The word of God. So when you feed on the word of God, you embrace the word of God, then you begin to grow in your faith and know who he says you are. The entire word of God is an entire value proposition. It is God's value proposition about what he says about you, about what he thinks about you, about the authority that you have, where you're going to go, why you're here, and you're created with a divine purpose and created with a divine plan. So as you begin to continue to feed on the word of God, you're going to more and more understand God's value proposition. How about that, huh? So what I want us to understand here is what I want us to understand. I want us to know God, to grow in God. And in order to know God, you have to study God, ladies and gentlemen. It just can't be church flow. It just can't be Easter Sunday. It just can't be every now and then. This has to become a lifestyle. And as we're building the walls of our ministry, we've laid the foundation. Now we're beginning to understand more and more the importance, the significance, and why it's important to feed on the Word of God. Because if you don't know how you align with the Word of God, how can you go forth and make disciples of all men? How can you go forth and be that testimony, that billboard that God needs for you to do? You have to be able to taste and see first so that you can help be a part of Him showing everyone the way. Okay? So what I want us to know and understand is once you really embrace the lifestyle, Soil Church, the lifestyle of studying God, you will come to understand that God is love. You will come to understand that God is love. In fact, John 3:16 says, "For God so loved the world." It means that He loved this world so much. We're not just talking about the trees, the water, the ground, the mountains. He's talking about the people that He gave authority to in this world. The people of this world. So when He's saying that, He's saying how much He loves you. This is what I want us to understand. And because He says that, this is what He did. Because He loved the world so much, He gave His one and only Son, His only begotten Son, for us, without a guarantee that we were going to accept His value proposition. Okay? He gave that to us. It's almost like He gave us a sample and he gave you the product, okay? He gave you the product and let you go on a trial, okay? I'm going to let you sample my Son for 33 years, okay? And okay, once the sample is over, okay, you have a choice to either send it back or to keep it. That's what God did for us. Okay, so He loved this world so much, He allowed us to sample His Son for 33 years, and He gave us His only begotten Son, so that whosoever would believe in Him then shall have everlasting life. You won't perish. You're going to live forever through His Son. So what I want you to know, now I want you to stay with me now, because we're going somewhere with this point, because I want you to understand this is how much God loves you. This is how much He thinks about you, that He gave His one and only Son. He gave us the absolute best that He had, the best product on the shelf, the premium. I mean, the best of the best is what God gave us. And this tells us that God's love means that God gave, because He loved us so much that He did what? He gave. So what this is saying is that this tells us is that love is identified by giving. Love is identified by giving. You've heard me say this before. You can't just say I love you. You have to, in fact, do I love you. Because that's the measuring of love. It's what are you doing? What actions are you taking? God didn't just say He loves us. He did something. He gave. Now let's keep this in mind as we continue to lay the foundation of our message on today. So now back to the Apostle Paul. The Apostle Paul, he knew the value proposition of God. He knew and understood that God loved us because remember, he was the one that went to persecute the people of God. And if God loved him enough that he pushed those flaws aside and said, I've given you gifts, I've given you talents, I've given you a purpose, I've given you a plan. Now I want to redirect all of that and use it for my purpose, use it for my plan now. I'm going to love you through everything that you did, and now I'm going to use you for my purpose and my glory, and I need you to go out and proclaim my value proposition. This is what Paul knew, and this is what Paul understood. So let's read here as we were in Romans chapter 8. Let's align everything here so we can close out this series, and we're going to close this series out on fire with the Apostle Paul and the Holy Spirit, and it is going to be a wonderful blessing to your soul. So let's go into Romans 8:35, and let's continue on as we've been walking through the Word of God in Romans chapter 8. So as we put the first slide up here on this morning, as we look at Romans 8:35, I'm coming from the New King James Version of the Bible. And it says, "Who shall separate us from the love of Christ?" He's asking a question to the Roman people. He's making them think outside the box. Who is it that can separate you? Because Julius Caesar did not stop you from learning this word. I got in and I was able to recruit you. And he's the most powerful force during that time. And if he couldn't stop you and the people around couldn't stop him. And I want you to understand here, you got to think about this here. Who can separate you from the love of Christ? He starts this off with a rhetorical question asking who could separate you from God's love of his only begotten son. Now, as we go into that, because what I want us to understand as we put the next slide up on this morning, if his only begotten son was given to us out of love, then his son must be the love that was given. If his son, okay, was given to us out of love, then his son must be the love that was given. So here's what I want us to understand on this morning, Lord. Here's what I want us to understand, ladies and gentlemen. In essence, God's value proposition is love. It's that simple. It's not that complicated. It's very easy to understand. This whole thing is about love. The entire Bible is a love letter to the people of God, broken down by book, chapter, and verse. It's all about love. And if you think it's anything else beside that, then you're sadly mistaken. And I want to encourage you to continue to grow in the Word of God. This is why, okay, we've named our ministry here Spirit of Inspiring Love Church, because this is all about love. And sometimes we have to be inspired by the love letter of God. This is why we want you to come and grow in the soil, because as you grow in the soil, you're going to grow in God's love. This is, in fact, all about love. This is God's proud value proposition. This is what his product is all about. This is what his service is all about. Don't kid it. It ain't about ticket sales and all these other things that we use and do to try to commercialize some things. It is simply, ladies and gentlemen, all about love. That's what it is. So then, with that being understood here, what could possibly separate you from his love? If he loved this world so much that he took the act to give his only begotten son, what could separate you from that? What could separate you from the love that he has? What could separate you from his love, his son that was the walking version of love that dwelt among us? What could separate you from that? This is what he wants the Romanian people and us even still on today to know and to understand. God's love is a continuous thing. It's not past tense. It's a spirit, and it continues to dwell. It continues to shine. It continues to live. And as God is, love is, and as love is, God is. What could possibly separate you from the love of God? This is what I want us to know and to understand here. This is what it's all about, ladies and gentlemen. So then, going back to the question about the identity crisis and who are we and how do we fit into this, what he wants us to understand, ladies and gentlemen, okay, what does love look like? What could love look like? How do I identify love? How do I know what it is? How do I get this? How do I align love with a practical sense of what we do and how we live and who we are? I'm going to answer that simple question here on this morning. I didn't give a slide on this, but the Holy Spirit gave me this morning. Here's what I want us to understand, and I want you to listen to me on this morning. Here's what I want you to understand. So what does love look like? Ladies and gentlemen, love looks like you. You're the image of love. That's what love looks like. When you have accepted the Lord as your Savior, you look like love. That's what it looks like. It's that simple. And as a matter of fact, because you have taken on the image of God, and if you've taken on and been conformed to his image and you have accepted him, you are in fact the image of love. Okay? You are created in the image of God. Okay? And I want somebody to put that in the chat here. You are the image of love. Put that out there. When I go back and I reread and look at these things, I need to be inspired by this same word. I'm feeding on this same word that I'm giving you here. You are the image of love. Somebody put that in the chat. You are the image of love. Thank you for our team that's on it 100% here. And this is what I want us to know and to understand. This is what the Apostle Paul begins to help us to understand about how deep the love of God is by asking more questions. So let's go into the next scripture here. As you see on this morning in Romans 8 here, the next scripture says here, shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or peril or sword? He's throwing some things out here saying, can any of these things separate you from the love of Christ? This means that through all the things that we as mankind can go through in this world, what he wants us to know and understand, his love never separates from us. His love, ladies and gentlemen, it never separates from us. Now, hear me closely. I did not say that we don't separate from his love. I said his love never separates from us. This is what I want us to know and understand. This is the reason why love can lift you when you were sinking in the deeps, in the depths of sin and living a sinful and a shameful lifestyle and doing some things that you would be maybe too ashamed to share with the average person or whatever the case. Do you know that God's love was still right there during everything you were going through? Do you know that the love of God was right with Paul as he was persecuting Christians during that time? When he was Saul at the time? Do you know that God's love is deeper than anything that you can do? You can deny him, right? And he still loves you. You can be ashamed of him and he still loves you. Peter denied him 3 times, but the love of Jesus was still right there. And Peter got a book in the Bible because of the love of Christ. So you might can separate from his love, but his love never separates from you. Amen on today, because if God's love separated from us, none of us would have a chance. If God's love separated from us, none of us would have his grace. If God's love separated from us, we wouldn't stand a chance to come to Christ, to get to know him and to have this opportunity because we were born in sin. But I am so thankful that God's love never separated from me. God's love never left me. God's love never abounded. It never got away from me. It never separated from me. And that's what I want you to know and understand on today. God's love will never leave you. God's love will never forsake you. It won't abandon you. It won't leave you dry. It won't leave you stranded. It is always with you. So what I want us to know and understand that what can separate you from the love of God? Nothing, absolutely nothing can separate you from his love. Now, his love never separates from us. And what I want us to know and understand is that we're going to get into something here as we're talking about some things. And I want to kind of slide into some of the things that's happening in our current events of today. Because what I want us to know here, we're going to talk about something here. That last word in that last scripture here says sword. That last word says sword. Shall tribulation, distress, persecution, famine, nakedness, peril, or sword? Let's talk about that word for a second. Because that word really resonated with me during my studies. It really spoke to me during my studies here. Because what I want us to know and understand, the word sword in this text reminds me of the current events that's going on right now between Ukraine and Russia. What does a sword mean in all of this? And I've made up in my mind, and here's what the Ukrainians and different ones are saying, because I was so inspired, ladies and gentlemen, when I am seeing people praise God in bombshells, praise God while taking shelter, praise God in the midst of the sword that's coming against them right now. Because what I want us to know and understand is that the text here, it reminded me of that when it spoke to me. I'm saying these people are standing. They are standing on the love of God. They're praising on the love of God. And if you can praise God when you know ballistic missiles are coming your way, if you can praise God and stay close to his love when you know that bombs are being exploded and all around you on today, that is the love that these people have grown to learn and to love and appreciate even on today. Things going all around them, but they will not separate from love. David said, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil because thou is with me. Thy wrath, thy staff, and thy staff is with them on today. And I get so excited when I think about that. Okay, his rod and his staff. I get a little tongue twisted here. His rod and his staff is with him on today. Because if you can't put the word into action, then when can you use the word? If you can't test the word, then when can you use the word? You're filling up on this word for a reason. You're filling up on the word because attacks are coming. Things will happen, and you have to be able to be fed up on the word, to be able to activate the word, to be able to use the word, to put the word to work, to put the word into action. And I was so inspired when I'm seeing people in bomb shows praising God and singing praises to God and all of that. So they have learned and they've understood that, hey, nothing can separate me from the word of God. Regardless to what happens, Lord, I still love you. Can we praise God when all hell is breaking loose around us? Can we stay close to the word of God when things are not going the way that we want them to? What can separate us from the love of God? What can separate us from the love of God? And this is what I want us to know and understand, that we have to give thanks in all things, because you have to know that God's love is right there. It meets you wherever you are. Nothing catches God by surprise. None of these things catch God by surprise. The Lord reminded me, hey, in the world, in the word, the Bible says that there will be wars and rumors of wars. It's going to happen. It's been happening. There was a war that broke out. Remember the war in heaven that broke out. Okay. Remember the jealousy of Satan. Okay. Lucifer at the time, and it got him kicked out of heaven. That was a war that took place. And if a war took place in heaven, why should we think it strange that it takes place here on earth? Okay, but what we have to know and understand is that God sees all, God knows all. We may not understand everything, but we put things in the hands of God. But it is us, his people, who are called by his name, okay, to humble ourselves, to turn from our wicked ways so that God can heal the land. He needs the cry out of his people more than ever before right now. He needs his love to be shown more than ever before right now, okay? He needs us to be that walking billboard of love more than ever before right now. I can't get off of love on this morning. This message is about God's love, but I'm here right now. So somebody needs to hear this right now. We have to show the love of God more than ever before. And the more we feed on the word of God, the more we begin to allow the word of God to fill us up, we will look more like love. We will walk more like love. We will talk more like love. We will allow God's love to be shown. And love conquers, ladies and gentlemen, a multitude of sins. So all the sin, all the hell, everything that's going on in this world that's breaking out around us, do you know that love has the power to destroy all of it? We have to feed on the love of God, because nothing shall separate us from his love. And what I want us to know and understand, God's love needs to be shown, and it needs to be advertised more than ever before in the history of our world. Now, I was so inspired by that. But what I want us to know here, I'm going to put a slide up here as I move on from this point here. I want to ask a question here. Can we praise God when we know that we're being targeted? Can you praise God when you know that you're being targeted, when you know that they're talking about you, when you know that they've got things coming up against you, when you know that the enemy is constantly planning attacks, when you know that these things are being that are coming towards you? Do you get distracted by that, or do you stay close to God's love? Do you listen to the world's message, or do you stay close to God's love? See, sometimes we have to be tested to know exactly how deep is our love for the Lord. But the more we feel on him, the more we begin to feed on his word, the more we continue to remember last week when we talked about eating the spinach, okay, getting those spiritual nutrients on the inside of us. When tests come, when attacks come, when trials and tribulations come, we are going to be anchored by the love of God. Can we praise God when we know that we're being targeted? So inspirational. And I am continuing to pray for those people over there, regardless to who started it. I might not know everything, but one thing I do know about the love of God. Now let's move on to verse number 36 here in Romans 8 and 36 here, because I want us to know and understand here, as the Apostle Paul is continuing to inspire the Roman church here. Romans 8 and 36 says, as it is written, for your sake, we are killed all day long. Spiritually speaking, we are accounted as sheep for the slaughter. Okay, the Bible says, think it not strange. Okay, the fiery darts from the enemy. Attacks are going to come. We're in a season of attacks right now. Spiritual warfare is going on. Okay, physical warfare is going on. And it was so like God to have already had me planted in this world, in this word here, out of all 66 books of the Bible. Look at exactly what God is saying. When we started this here, this was before certain things broke out. But look at what the word of God is saying right now. If you want to understand how God aligns his word and how prophetic word is spoken from a timing standpoint, you are seeing it right now. You are seeing it right now. When we're just listen to the words here in Romans 8 and 36. And for your sake, okay, we are killed all day long. We are counted as sheep for the slaughter. This is what we have to know and understand, because the enemy is always attacking. The enemy is always out there trying to kill your smile, trying to kill your positive mindset, trying to kill whatever God has given you to do. Okay, the enemy comes to kill, steal, and destroy. He's trying to destroy your spirit. He's trying to destroy your motivation. He's trying to destroy your focus and give you a spirit of distraction. All day long, the enemy is constantly attacking, just as we are sheep for the slaughter. And this is what the Apostle Paul is spiritually speaking here. And this is a reminder of the things that are going on around us right now, that this, ladies and gentlemen, is not about flesh and blood. This is not about flesh and blood. This is a spiritual warfare. The enemy has unleashed some demons that we have not encountered before. And we're seeing it every day. We think this is cupcake. This is game. This is, oh, I can get back to God whenever and all. No. Do you understand that the enemy has unleashed some specific demons here for this day and this time? Because he is trying to kill the motivation and the encouragement and the inspiration of the people of God. Okay, we have to wake up, old sleeper, and see what is going on around us. This is why I say it's more than just church floor. This is a lifestyle. And the enemy ain't fight. The enemy, he wants a real street fight with the people of God. Because he knows that Jesus is soon to come. And he's trying to win as many souls that he can away from the Lord here. So he's doing these things because he's trying to recruit more of God's people. But God says that his people, that are called by his name, if they would just humble themselves, the spirit of humility. Remember, we talked about that, this power of humility. If we would humble ourselves, turn from our wicked ways, okay? If we do this here, this God will heal this land, ladies and gentlemen. He will heal this land. It is up to us as the people of God to make sure we're on point. We're feeding on the word of God. We're getting our spiritual nutrients every single day. And if we continue to do this, we will inspire this world by love. Because remember, love conquers a multitude of sin. There's nobody that's too deep in sin that cannot be inspired by the love of God. Nobody, I don't care what they are, who they are, what they're doing, what they've done. Okay? You cannot not be inspired by the love of God. That's just the way his love lives. And his love is that powerful. And here's what I want us to know about that scripture that we just read here. There is a prepositional phrase in Romans 8 and 36 that we just shown here. There's a prepositional phrase here that I want us to know and understand. As it is written. As it is written. And I'm almost done here. And I want to thank y'all for tuning in with us here. I want to talk about this for just for a second. Do you know that this phrase here, as it is written, is one of the strongest phases or one of the strongest phrases that any believer can ever use? As it is written. That's power. That is power. And as we're talking about spiritual warfare right now, because remember, this is not about flesh and blood. Okay, it's about principalities, okay? And it's about these demons and they're sitting up in high places right now. We're seeing it every day. Okay? It's about these things. It's deeper than just the flesh and the blood. Remember that. Spiritual warfare is deeper than that. Okay? And this is what I want us to know and understand. Okay, this is one of the strongest phrases that any believer can ever use. As it is written. Okay? As it is written. This is what I want you to know and understand. Somebody can even put that in a chat here just to be inspiring to somebody. As it is written. Help us to not forget to call on the word of God. Because that phrase, as it is written, this is the weapon that Jesus used, okay, while fasting in the wilderness for 40 days and 40 nights. When the enemy came, when he thought he was the weakest at his weakest of points, and tried to get Jesus to submit to him and to do all these things, right? He tried to come at the weakest point. Jesus fought the spirit with the spirit. And he said, as it is written. And this is the weapon that Jesus used. And if this is the weapon that Jesus used against the enemy, this is the weapon that we are to use against the enemy, against this world. Okay. So what I want us to know and understand, Soil Church, I want you to hear me. I want you to listen to me as we're building the walls. Okay. As we're building these walls, the structure, the framing during our process of building this ministry. This is what I want you to understand. You have to go directly to the source when it comes to spiritual warfare, when it comes to spiritual attacks. Okay. You have to fight force with force. You have to speak to the source and behind the situation. Okay, when Peter tried to talk Jesus out of going through the crucifixion, he looked at him and he looked at who was behind Peter and saying, get behind me, Satan. He spoke directly to the source, and we speak directly to the source when as it is written. Okay, what is it? What's written in the word of God? Lay hands on the sick and they shall recover. What's written? Speak to the mountain and it shall move. You have to know the word of God. You have to be able to speak. All things work together for the good of those who love the Lord, who are called according to his purpose. Okay? We have to know the word of God. Think on those things which are lovely, which are pure, the best, not the worst, good, not the bad. And when you do that, God will work you into his most harmonious ways. You have to know the word of God. In the beginning was God. Okay? God is love. Okay? 1 John, right? Okay? 1 John 4. Now, he that knoweth not loveth not God, for God is love. You have to know the word of God. And you should be able to get to a point here as we continue to grow. You should be able to meditate on scripture and be able to speak scripture when things are coming out, when things are coming up. You have to know the word of God. Don't allow these things to happen. Don't allow these things to go on. You have to go back to as it is written. And when we as believers know to stand on that and to stand on that principle and to speak what is written, use the power of the tongue to speak those things, it may not be as though they are, to know and understand the authority that we have, this world can turn around. We can be used effectively for the kingdom of God. Okay? And then you begin to know that the wealth of the wicked is laid up for the just. That's written. All of those things. Be fruitful and multiply. When we talk about the power of the wealth, we're going to get into that. Okay. This is what's written, and we have a direct connection to everything that's written. Okay. And so I want us to know that and understand that. Okay. Because what I want us to know, I want you to soak on that for a little bit here, because I want us to know there is no greater time in the history of this world where we as a people of God, we need the word of God, and it needs to be spoken. As it is written needs to be spoken more than ever before. And we have to go back to not our thoughts and our opinions. We have to go back to the basics to speak as it is written. Never forget that. If you don't remember anything else, always remember the Bible is the source. And as it is written is the most powerful weapon that you have in spiritual warfare. Okay, now I'm almost done and I'm getting ready to connect verses 36 and 37 here. And we're going to close this message out Apostle Paul style here. So let's look at Romans 8 and 36 here. Romans 8 and 36 here. And it says here, as it is written, as we just talked about that, for your sake, we are killed all day long. We are accounted as sheep for the slaughter. And what I want us to know here is the enemy wants to come at us as though he's the big bad wolf. The enemy will attack. But what I want us to know and understand that Bluto will try to bully you. He will try to huff and puff and blow your spiritual house down, Popeye, right? But the darts will begin to fly. The enemy is going to attack, but you fight the attack with the attack by as it is written, what is written in the word of God. Now let's go on to verse number 37 here. We're just breaking down the word here, giving us some marching orders and instructions on what we need to know and understand. Because Romans 8 and 37 says, yet in all these things, we are, here's that word. I've been waiting on this word. I've been waiting to get to this point because yet, despite all of the attacks, yet, despite everything that's going through, yet, you know, instead of being, you know, slaughtered as sheep and all these other things that we're talking about and the fiery darts coming our way, way and the attacks of the enemy. He says, yet. Does anybody know and understand the importance of yet? Despite all of these things that are going on all around us, yet in all these things, ladies and gentlemen, we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. See, what I love about what Paul did was he kind of painted the dark side first. And then he ended on a high note to let you know that there is light at the end of the tunnel. Can somebody praise God that there is light at the end of the tunnel, that your situation doesn't stop right where it's dark. Your situation doesn't end right during where it's dark. Your situation doesn't stop right there where it's dark in your life. There is light at the end of the tunnel because there is a yet. You are more than a conqueror. Amen. Praise God for his word, because David said it best when he said, I am walking through the valley of the shadow of death. It's dark right now. I don't see the light at the end of the tunnel. But one thing I know is that God's love did not separate from me. God's love did not leave me nor forsake me. God's love, his rod and his staff, is right there. So therefore, I know and I can walk with a different walk. I can walk in authority because I know that I am not just a conqueror, but more than a conqueror. I think we just need to stop and give God some hand praise, because we are more than conquerors. We sometimes, ladies and gentlemen, forget that we are, in fact, more than conquerors. We have to know what the word says about us. If you're having an identity crisis, one thing you need to know is that God says you are more than a conqueror. Let's talk about that for a little bit. I want to talk about that as we get ready to end this message here. Let's talk about being more than a conqueror. His love conquers a multitude of sins. And because we are a part of God's value proposition, ladies and gentlemen, we are more than conquerors through him that loves us. Think about that for a second. And if you find yourself having that identity crisis, as I just said here, he says that you are more than a conqueror. I don't know my place in this world. You're more than a conqueror. I'm not too sure about what I should be doing. You are more than a conqueror. I don't know if this is for me or whatever the case. You are more than a conqueror. I don't know that I'm feeling it or whatever the case. You are more than a conqueror. Ladies and gentlemen, what I want you to know is that conquering is not where it stops. Conquering something is not where it stops. Because he said, you're more than a conqueror. Let's talk about that as we get ready to close this message out. I am feeling the presence of the Lord moving and stirring up in my spirit right now. And I want you to put that in a chat, okay? Conquering is not where it stops. Put that in a chat, somebody. Conquering is not where it stops. There we go. We've got a slide for it. I'll tell you what, my guy is on it. He's on point with it this morning. Conquering is not where it stops. This is what I want us to know on today. We Talk Radio, I want y'all to text somebody right now on your phone. Let them know conquering is not where it stops. Ain't that the good news? Ain't that the gospel? That conquering is not where it stops, because greater works we shall do. Okay, God has given us the ability, okay, to do those things. Greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. Ladies and gentlemen, conquering is not where it stops. I don't know about you on this morning, but I'm excited in my spirit, because conquering is not where it stops. That means that I can do more than just what I'm doing. That means that I can go forth and do everything that God has called for me to do. That means that I'm greater than any identity crisis that I can have, because conquering is not where it stops. How about that? Let's continue to move on. I'm starting to get excited on this morning here. You know that if you overcome, and when you overcome, let's just say an addiction, you overcome an addiction, say alcoholism, you overcome a drug abuse, sex addict, whatever it is, do you know that conquering that is not where it stops? That means now you have the equipment and the artillery and everything needed to now go out and inspire somebody else to come out of that same thing, because conquering is not where it stops. That is the art of ministry. Okay, you go back and you strengthen your brother, is what the Bible says. When God has pulled you out of a rut and you know how good his love is, conquering is not where it stops. This is what the Apostle Paul learned back when he was Saul. And the love of God changed his life. And he went from Saul to Paul, if you remember that sermon, from Saul to Paul. And now he became conquered, okay, by the love of God. But conquering is not where it stops. Then he went out and he recruited more, and he began to encourage more, and he began to uplift and inspire more, and he began to write epistles to different ones, because conquering is not where it stops. Oh, I can stay right there, and I can preach on that. That's a whole series right there. Conquering is not where it stops, because here's what I want us to know and understand here. Somebody needed to hear that word on this morning, that conquering is not where it stops. Yes, you got saved. Yes, you filled with the Holy Spirit. But guess what? Conquering is not where it stops. Now you have work to do. And this is where we are, so old church. We have to know and understand there is work to be done out there. We have to go out there and show people that we are the image of the love of God. We are, in fact, who love looks like. We are, in fact, the walking elements of love every single day. And when we embrace that lifestyle and we continue to feed on the word of God, and we begin to walk with a different walk, talk with a different talk, do the things that God needs for us to do, we're not going to allow the world's message to dictate what we do. We're going to allow what God gives us to affect the world's message. That's right. We're not going to allow the world's message to dictate what we do. We're going to feed on the word of God and dictate the world's message. It is time for us as Christians to take back control. It is time for us as people of God to walk with a different walk. It is time for us to know that conquering is not where it stops. It is time for us to know the authority that God has given us. And this is the reason why the Apostle Paul wanted to inspire the Roman church here, because he wanted you to know that you are more than a conqueror. There is more work to be done. There is greater works to be done. There are people to be encouraged and inspired. There is work to be inspired in the schools. There is work to be inspired on the streets. There is work to be inspired in the grocery stores. There is work to be done out here. Ladies and gentlemen, you are in fact more than a conqueror. We need to just give God some praise, because that's a good reminder to let us know that we are in fact more than a conqueror. Now, because conquering is not where it stops, I want to end here with a couple of last slides here. I want to go into Romans 8 and 39, because he told us that conquering is not where it stops. Now let's listen to how smooth the Apostle Paul is here as we go on to Romans 8 and 38. I'm coming from the New King James Version of the Bible, and it says, "For I am persuaded," he's persuaded because he knows that conquering is not where it stops. "For I am persuaded," that means that he is convinced. That means that he has been affected. That means that he has tasted and he has seen. That means that Paul knows something. That means that Paul has embraced transformation. That means that Paul is fully convinced. "For I am persuaded that neither death nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come." And in 39, "nor height, nor depth, nor any created thing shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord." You can send some bombs, but I'm not separated. You can try to invade, but I am not separated. You can use fear tactics, but I am not separated. I may not know what tomorrow brings, but one thing I know, I am not separated, because I am convinced, and because I know conquering is not where it ends. Because I know all of these things and I know the word of God, I can walk with confidence. I can walk with the boldness. I can stand bold and I can stand strong, knowing what the word of God says. And when you have tasted and seen the word of God, and you know what the word of God has done for you in your life, you yourself will be persuaded. You will be persuaded by the word of God that no death, no demon, no angel, or nothing can separate you from his love. Nothing that you're going through can separate you from the love of God. You got some bad news, but you're still connected to his love. Yep, that thing didn't go the way you wanted it to go, but you're still connected to his love. Yep, they talked about you the other day, but you are still connected to his love. Ladies and gentlemen, I don't care how bad it gets. The love of God will not leave you. The love of God will not separate from you. The love of God won't leave you high and dry. The love of God will be there every step of the way. And you will get to a point to where you know that his love will never leave you and his love will never forsake you. This is what the Apostle Paul wanted the people of the Roman church to know. And God wants his people on today to know and to understand, as we close out this series, his love won't leave you. His love is always there. His love won't separate. Despite everything that's going on in this world, I want to speak love over your life right now. I want to speak love, because where there is love, there is peace. Love is patient. Love is kind. Love is not envious. Love is not jealous. Love doesn't boast. Love doesn't brag. Love doesn't do all of those things. You are the image of love. And I want you to understand, this entire series, ladies and gentlemen, has been all about you knowing and understand. He says that you're love. My God, on today, that's a fresh word. That's a fresh prophetic word right now. This whole thing for the past few weeks has been about him letting you know on today. He says you're love. If we just can understand that, that's what God is saying that you are. You're love. You're a walking version of peace, patience, kindness, gentleness, self-control. That's what the fruit of the Spirit is. You're patient, you're kind, you're gentle, you're all of those things. That's what you look like. And that is who he says, hallelujah, who you are. I want y'all to never forget that. We've got a whole lot more that I could give you, but I'm going to end on that note right there. Eric, we're going to end on this note right here. My notes are done. Because God has literally just redirected me into this message right now. This whole thing is about him wanting you to know you are who he says you are, and you are love. You're love. I don't care what it looks like, you are love. You look like love. You talk like love. You walk like love. So therefore, in fact, you must be love. There's nothing more that I can give you. My tank is empty. I just want you to understand that you are love. And as you walk in love, as you give love, as you talk love, speak love, walk love, that will conquer the multitude of sins in this world, ladies and gentlemen. If there was one message that I could preach, or a last message that I could preach, I would preach that you're love. This whole Bible is about love. His word is about love. And if you've conformed into his ways, and if you've taken on his image, you are about love. We need to pray for love. We have gotten away from love. We've gotten away from doing love. COVID separated us. It gave us a spirit of separation. And it made us get confined and separated and all that, which went against everything that God stands for. Now, Lord is saying, okay, yes, things are opening back up. And yes, things are beginning. And now we need to come out of confinement, saturating this world with love. I want to challenge you as I close on today. I want you to go around looking like love on your job. Go around looking like love in the grocery stores. Go around looking like love up and down these streets. Go around looking like love everywhere that you go. How do you look like love? The word of God. Feast on the word of God. Grow in your love. Get your spiritual love nutrients on point. Because love is needed more than ever before. And as I close this series, I want to thank all of y'all that have listened to this message for the past few weeks here. You are who he says you are. And the Lord is letting you know that you are love. God bless you. God keep you. I want to close out with a prayer. Yes, we'll put the slides up. You can sow into this ministry and all that's all fine and dandy. But I am right now focused on you knowing that you are love. Heavenly Father, for that man, that woman, that child, let them see your love. Let them walk like love, talk like love. Let them know, Lord, that love is the remedy. Love is the key. Love is the ingredient in everything that we do. And I want to thank you for sending your Holy Spirit in just to come in and let us know. You say that we're love because you're love. And because you're love, we're love. And I thank you for it in the name of Jesus. The structure of this church is built on love. The foundation of this church is laid by love. The roof, the windows, everything that's being built right now is built on love and out of love. And I want to thank you, Lord Jesus, for your love. Lord, help us to know that love is what's needed. Love is what needs to be shown. And love can, in fact, touch the hearts of evil men, of evil people, of evil in this world. Lord, love conquers that multitude of sin. And we thank you for it right now in the name of Jesus. Lord, help us to sprinkle some salt. In other words, sprinkle some love in this world. In the name of Jesus, Lord. For you so loved the world that you gave. Help us to do love. To walk love, to talk love, even the tone in our voices as we talk to people, let it be in a loving tone. Let love just be shown. Let us just have just an outpouring, an outcrying, a rain down of your love like never before. The people, there is a movement of love that needs to happen in this land right now. In the name of Jesus, Lord. For that person that's turned away from you, Lord, let love lift them up. When nothing else could help, love lifted them out of whatever they were in because your love never separated from them. And I thank you for allowing your love to always be on point, to be there wherever we are. And we thank you in the name of Jesus. Lord, I thank you for your word. Thank you for what you're doing. Thank you for growing us, molding us, shaping us, and for everything that you do, Lord. Help us to remember to anchor our lives in love. And we thank you for showing us in the name of Jesus that you are who we say we are. You are who we say we are. You are who you say we are. And you say, in fact, that we are love. And we thank you for it in the name of Jesus. We love you and we thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. I can't put it into words, but I just want to thank y'all for tuning in. And for that person right here, I want you to say something here as we get ready to close. I want you to say something with me. Say, Lord, forgive me of my sins. Turn me around in my life and let people see your love. I believe that you died and that you rose on the third day with all the power, with all the glory, and with all the love. Thank you for saving me in Jesus' name. And if that was you, I want to thank you for giving your life to Christ on this morning. You can reach out to me, info.soilchurch@gmail.com. I want to thank you for giving your life to the Lord. Now let him love you through everything. Okay, allow his love because that's who he says that you are. You are love. And he says that, how will they know that you're my disciples? By your love. That is what this is all about. He preached to me, through me at the same time. That don't happen all the time, but that is remarkable. I thank God for hijacking this word here. And I just want to thank y'all. And if you can, show some love to God. Okay. We've got two ways that you can give. Okay. You got two ways that you can give. Show God how much you love him. Remember, love is shown by the actions that you take. Love is shown by what you do. Okay. There are two ways that you can show your love for God, that you can show him for thanking you for blessing you with this word. I know what it did for me. It's renewed your mind. It's renewed your strength. It's given you a sense of peace. I feel a sense of peace that surpasses all understanding, that guards our heart and our mind in Christ Jesus. I feel it. And his love has done that. Listen, give, show God out of love. Give to us here. Givelify, pull up the Givelify app and just look us up. Spirit of Inspiring Love Church. I want to thank you in advance for all of your seeds. Or if you love Zelle, we got the Zelle option right here. Okay. We got the Zelle option right here. info.soilchurch@gmail.com. Just pull up that address, that email address right there, and you can give to us here. We welcome all your seeds. We thank you for it. Some of you want to give old school. It has to be a cashier's check. Spirit of Inspiring Love Church, P.O. Box 180972, Arlington, Texas here. But the easiest and quickest ways to give is through Givelify and Zelle. Okay, we've got some information that we're going to start sharing with you here in the month of March. We got some things, some special meetings that are getting ready to come up for those of you that want to join this church. I'm going to have some communication. I'm going to be reaching out to you here. We got some important meetings coming up here. We're getting ready to go to the next level. And I tell you what, I'm excited about what God is getting ready to do. All right, let us get ready to dismiss. I want to thank you, Heavenly Father. Thank you for your word of love on this morning, Lord. Lord, we are who you say that we are. And we are love. Thank you for that revelation in the name of Jesus. We'll be back next Sunday, 9 a.m. Central Standard Time. And as I always say, don't meet me there, beat me there. Have a fantastic Sunday, folks. And we'll see you next week. Take care and walk in the love of God.